Rail. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, that's 464-8295, but first of all, please hold your calls unless we ask for them, and secondly, if you're listening to this program delayed on the Here's Help Radio Network, why, well, it's a delayed broadcast, not live, so this wouldn't do you a bit of good to call in anyway. Well, this evening we're hoping to have with us Jimmy Walter, who is indeed a very unusual individual. Quite wealthy, he has spent literally millions of dollars of his own running full-page ads in the New York Times and other major newspapers, getting television advertisements, and, of course, primarily in New York, over 9,000 ads in the New York area, trying to get the people to understand that what you thought you saw on September 11th, 2001 was not what really took place. And, of course, outside of New York, you haven't even heard about this. His efforts have been totally blacked out by the controlled media, because the last thing they can allow is for the American people to know that they knew in advance the attack was coming, and they left those people there to die. Now, how do we know that they knew the attack was coming? Well, we can argue back and forth as far as the Twin Towers going down, but if you've seen the pictures of Building 7 go down, and it was a block and a half away from the Twin Towers, it wasn't hit by any airplanes, and it had some fires in it, and yet, in the evening, all around the base of the building, suddenly there was a great explosion. The firemen were told to leave the building. It was going to come down. How did they know the building was going to come down? And then, of course, you saw a controlled explosion. And if you haven't seen those pictures, they are available, and I'm sure Jimmy Walter will tell you how to get those. And then, of course, the magic passports, the one that survived the North Tower, the other one that survived the flaming inferno in Pennsylvania. Both of them were passports. The only thing that survived of two of the hijackers, at least we're told that they were two of the hijackers, and obviously if you honestly believe that somehow this hijacker on the plane crashing into the North Tower, and the passport he has in his pocket gets out of his pocket, and then out of the flaming wreckage of the plane, and then out of the flaming wreckage of the North Tower, and floats gently down to the ground about a block and a half away, lands on the sidewalk, was picked up by someone and given to a police officer who turns it in, and it's even discussed in the 911 committee report. What do you think the chances of that happening? Not even a little ember on that one. Now, the one in Pennsylvania, obviously, was partly burned. It was actually pictured. It was displayed on the FBI website for a few days and then taken down because I guess they figured that was just too much even to expect the gullible American people to accept. Well, we've got Mr. Walter with us. He's down in Florida. They're going to be putting out a program there. When is that program going to be, Mr. Walter?
That's on December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, at the Tampa Theater at 711 Franklin Street in Tampa, Florida.
Well, are you going to get a pretty good turnout, do you think?
We're hoping to have a sellout crowd. It's a big theater, and the theater itself is quite a museum piece from the 20s, one of the 20s theaters, and you'll have a thrill just looking at the theater, if nothing else.
Well, of course, I'm not going to be there, but I'll be there in spirit with you.
As you always. Thank you, Doctor.
But Mr. Walter is bringing people in from across the country to try to introduce them to the fact that we've been lied to. And certainly they knew ahead of time what was going to happen. And they did nothing to warn the people. In fact, they told the people of the South Tower to stay in place, not to leave.
Well, and you know Mary Giuliani.
Hold that thought. Okay, go ahead, Jimmy.
And you know that Mayor Giuliani was told 20 minutes ahead of the tower collapse that it was going to collapse. and yet they did not warn the firemen and the other innocent victims inside of the tower. They just let them stay.
And, of course, this is really the most incredible story, and especially the South Tower, where, you know, here the people saw, they could look out the windows, and they could see the people jumping out of the North Tower and the flames and the smoke, and, you know, and these people want to get out of the South Tower, and they were ordered to go back to their seats. And another 2,500 or more would have perished had it not been that the fellow in charge of security of Morgan Stanley just ran up and down the aisle and said, get out, we're under a terrorist attack. He rescued all of those people. That's why, in my opinion, they kept telling us there were 6,000 had died, 6,000 had died, 6,000 had died. They expected them to die, too. They didn't know about this crazy guy who believed it was a terrorist attack and demanded that people got out, and got out, I think, all but one or two of the Morgan Stanley employees. Will you pick up the story, Jimmy? They've heard me before. You tell the people what got you into this and why you're so concerned about what's going on.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stanley. I watched the towers collapse like everyone else, and I thought it was fires, the impact. But then I was turned on to Eric Hufschmid's book and video, Painful Decisions, Painful Deceptions. And when I watched the videos, I knew that it had to be somebody high-tech, that it couldn't be 19 Arabs who'd flunked out of flight school, flying these fantastic airliners in these high-speed, low-altitude, lower than they can actually fly at full speed, precision turns to hit these buildings. I mean, many pilots have said that no human could have flown those planes along those flight paths, that it had to be done by some sort of guided missile-type system. And we have every reason to believe that from the pictures, that whatever hit the Pentagon, for instance, was much smaller. So after viewing that video, I started my organization, reopen911.org, and we're offering a $1 million challenge to anyone who can prove explosives were not used at the World Trade Centers.
I think it's so interesting that the fellow in charge of security there at the North Tower was the president's brother,
Marvin P. Bush.
Isn't that a coincidence?
Well, of course it is. It's also a coincidence that Larry Silverstein, the leaseholder's security firm, SecureCorp, that you're talking about, forced all of the leaseholders to vacate their premises entirely while Silverstein Security Company...
Hold that talk right there. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Jimmy Walter, and he's really spent a lot of time and effort studying what happened there. And we were just saying that most Americans don't know that the man in charge of security on the North Tower was none other than George Bush's brother. And pick up the rest of that story. You were telling us something about Mr. Silverstein?
Mr. Silverstein's security company, this one that's, that Marvin T. Bush is connected with, forced every leaseholder to vacate their premises while his security team inspected them for security problems.
This is what, one floor at a time?
One office at a time.
Oh, I see.
So it would have been the perfect time for his security team to plant the explosives in the false ceilings of every place, every office. And we also know that they had these security drills the day of the attack, and that for weeks beforehand they had been doing strange repairs and problems with the elevators. So they had these people going into all the elevators with these strange-looking machines doing stuff. So Silverstein, of course, collected $7 billion in insurance for an investment of less than $200 million in less than 6 months.
That's pretty good return on investment.
I'm looking for an investment like that that's legal. Haven't found one yet, but I'm looking.
Well, of course, the other thing, of course, you've talked to William Rodriguez, who was there, who was actually working in charge of the elevator, stairway maintenance there in the North Tower. And would you like to perhaps share with our listeners what he has told you? Because I interviewed him the other day, but why don't you tell him what Mr. William Rodriguez, who actually was one of the heroes and was cited many times as having rescued many people, what he told you about what he noted before the plane hit the North Tower?
Well, he was in basement level 2. There were 6 basement levels in the World Trade Center, and they heard an explosion in the basements below them. Then, after they come out, William is called to one of the elevator shafts where there are people afraid of drowning because there's so much water coming down the elevator shafts. They were not this raging blast furnace that the FEMA and NIST reports and the 911 commission would have us believe in any way, shape, or form. And William Rodriguez's testimony was completely ignored and struck from the final report, as were many, many eyewitnesses that heard and saw explosions. All of this was edited from the report.
And, of course, according to Mr. Rodriguez, first of all, there was the explosion below them, and then came the plane impact above.
Right, exactly. The explosion below preceded the impact of the plane. Now, he also confirms, as the Nadeh Brotherstorm shows, that the lobby windows were completely blown out. Well, why would the lobby building windows be blown out if none of the windows on the floors above, all of which were closer to the impact than the lobby, why none of their windows were blown out?
And then there was a gentleman that, of course, William Rodriguez had actually rescued, who had been down in one of the sub-basements, and this wall of flame comes and engulfs him, and he's, 30-40% burned?
Right. His skin was hanging off his arms. So bad. But the explosion did not come down the elevator shaft. It came from the sub-basement.
But you see, nobody knows that. It was totally blacked out by the 911 commission when Mr. Rodriguez went and testified before the 911 commission. It was a secret testimony. It was certainly not open to the public, and then totally deleted, as was anything of any importance from the 911 commission report, which was carefully censored by the Bush administration, and then was widely circulated at a very low price, professionally printed, to try to convince the American people that now we finally had the truth.
Well, they also hid the truth in the forest. The book was 952 pages long or something like that. But when you read it, you find out they never questioned the administration's story. They assumed that the administration's story was fact, and that the chief of staff, the man who directed the investigation, was a close personal friend of Condoleezza Rice. So the administration, in effect, investigated itself and chose not to investigate the central fact that 19 Arabs who flunked out of flight school flew these fantastic flights with these fantastic airliners to hit the only empty section of the Pentagon, when the entire United States military had been looking for them for an hour and a half, and had sent the fighters in the wrong direction. The whole thing is, only a child would believe this.
Well, I think the most, even more incredible, and I've really only recently been able to verify this to my own satisfaction, that there was a military exercise that morning. In fact, there were
three of them,
and one of them actually involved terrorists hijacking a plane and crashing it to a government building. And that was, of course, what confused the air traffic controllers, who kept saying, is this a real hijacking, or is this part of the exercise?
Exactly. They meant it to confuse them. It was very well planned psychologically. And the whole thing was a psychological play. Both planes at Boston took off at the same time, but the hijackers, whoever the real hijackers are, waited long enough for the camera crews to set up in New York City so that a second impact would be on film. They waited again for then the impact in the end at the Pentagon. They waited again for the incident in Pennsylvania. They waited again for the collapse. They waited again for the other collapse. And so you're like a boxer in a fight in a ring. You get first the left, the right. You're off balance. They keep hitting you in the head. So you quit thinking. All the blood leaves the thinking part of the brain, goes to the fight and flight, and where you believe authority figures. And then all of a sudden they're saying on national TV, Osama did it, Osama did it. And everybody was just shocked, and they believed the first thing they saw. They didn't believe their eyes.
And I think the thing is that the Bush administration said, when we're going to bring you the evidence, we're going to prove this to you, we've got the evidence that the Sama did it. And then they never gave us the evidence.
There's never been a real investigation or anything laid out. I mean, and it's like somebody calls and said, well, I did it, so that proves Osama did it? I don't think so. I mean, these people haven't been fingerprinted. They haven't been cross-examined. There hasn't been any evidence presented before a fair and impartial jury.
And in fact, Osama bin Laden actually denied that he was. He said he certainly didn't oppose it, but he said at least he was quoted as saying, "And I did not do the planning on this." So, anyway, of course, who do we believe? Or do we believe the government that tells us it has the proof and will show it to us as soon as possible, and then never shows it to us, and then says we're going to capture Osama bin Laden dead or alive, and then refuses to try to capture Osama bin Laden? Recently, Peter Goss was interviewed by a Time reporter, Time magazine reporter, asked if he knew where Osama bin Laden was. He said, yes, I do. Next question. Next question.
Well, the Osama bin Laden was their asset. They created him to fight the Russians in Afghanistan. This guy, Saddam, was their agent. I mean, you say trust it. You mean we should trust the government that told us Saddam had weapons of mass destruction? You know, these guys have lied at every turn. I get so ironically tickled about Bush lecturing to the Chinese about torture when he's advocated, and Cheney advocates it for the United States to use. I mean, where do they come off with this kind of arrogance? And they actually insult the American people. They do it right in front of their noses and expect them not to see.
But I think the thing is that when you say one thing and then you do another, why you get people confused. And what really disturbs me most is, you know, I'm an evangelical Christian, and that the Christian leaders of this country are not speaking out in condemnation of a nation that advocates and openly supports torture and has actually camps all over Eastern Europe, where apparently, at least this is what is being reported, they take people to be tortured. I mean, where is the outcry from the Christian leaders? I could understand the Arabs and certainly the Chinese and the Russians doing this sort of thing, but Americans? And where is the outcry from our conservative and Christian leaders? They're all backing the war and backing the president and somehow justifying this.
And the president's people think that they are a joke. You see where Abramoff, or however you say his name, called the Christian fundamentalists wackos, that they were to be taken advantage of. I mean, these people do not have any respect for any religion. They will use anybody, and there's nothing Christian about George Bush's attitude. I mean, all you have to do is read Matthew 5, turn the other cheek, resist not evil, not start a war halfway around the world over people that you think might be evil. He cuts our soldiers' pay and benefits while he says support the troops. This guy, he has a clean air bill that makes the air dirtier, a clean water bill that makes the water dirtier. You tell this guy's lying, his lips are moving. He is certainly not Christian in any way, shape, or form. They cut aid to children. They've cut aid to the poor. The poor in this country are worse off now than they were before even Clinton started. We have not had a good record in this country about Christian principles. We seem to be more embedded with this extreme capitalism that says all competition is good and anybody who loses somehow deserves it.
Well, let's get back to the discussion of really what happened on 9/11, because I know this is the thing that just really bothers you, and the reason that you've stopped your work that you were doing before and trying to reach the American people and let them know that we have not been told the truth. And yet, so easy it is to forget what happened, and people say, well, it really doesn't matter about that. Let's argue about whether we ought to get out of Iraq or stay there. And I say, no, you know, no matter what you do, you're going to end up with chaos over there. If we pull out, there's going to be chaos. If we stay there, there's going to be chaos. Maybe we ought to start arguing about why we've never tried to find Osama bin Laden, who's funding the insurgents, and maybe we ought to ask what really happened on 9/11. Well, you pick up the story there, Jimmy.
Well, I of course, founded reopen911.org in order to get the word out and to try to get a real investigation going into what happened on September 11th. But the secondary story I discovered and the other criminal action that I'm pursuing here is to try to get criminal charges pressed against the members of the White House who changed the EPA report from a warning to say that the air was safe to breathe on September 13th. There are no Arabs, terrorists, hijackers, Muslims, Middle Easterners involved in these crimes. Just a clear paper trail from the EPA, Christy Whitman, from the White House Council on Environmental Quality, run by Dick Cheney at that moment during a national emergency, and Mayor Giuliani's office, the New York Health Department's office, and the New York State Health Department, that allowed this lie to stand, that has already killed two of the firemen who worked there because they were not allowed to wear masks, were not given masks to use if they didn't have their own, and has injured half of the firefighters who worked there, half of the work cleanup crew, children in nearby schools. These people have committed a manslaughter at the very minimum because two people have died, and nobody will prosecute them.
Well, let's get a little into the background, because I think this is really what most people don't understand, is that the air there was just full of all sorts of things, not only asbestos, but mercury, and you probably know all the things that were in the air. Were there any reports that came out and said, this is going to be a dangerous place to go into, everybody ought to be wearing very extensive masks, and who really knew how toxic that was?
The EPA knew that there was at least 400,000 pounds of lead and 200,000 pounds of asbestos, enough mercury to contaminate 2,500 city blocks, and the mercurium 241 from all of the smoke detectors that was all in the air. And there was no way this stuff was even close to being safe to breathe. But in order to reopen Wall Street, and that's in the EPA Inspector General's report, in order to reopen Wall Street, they told people the air was safe to breathe, and they stopped the firemen and stopped the cleanup crews from using masks.
Well, now, of course, is there an Inspector General's report out there that is available to people?
It definitely is. It's at the EPA site, or you can go to our website, reopen911.org, where you can learn about that. We have the report on our site, link to our site. You can see the Inspector General's report himself. And you can also find out about the tickets for our events in Florida on December 7th, 8th, and in Miami at December 9th. And about the free DVD we're giving away and all this. All you have to do is come in, sign up for it. We'll send you a free DVD in 10 languages. French, Italian, Spanish, German, Dutch, Russian, Chinese, Japanese, and Arabic.
All right, fine. Well, I think English will be just fine for me. But if you're out there and you'd like to get a DVD, and you're actually giving away, is that Dave Van Cleese's In Plain Sight?
I have given that away. We have some cuts from Dave Van Cleese on the video. We have some cuts from Eric Huffschmid.
Oh, you have a new one then. This is a new DVD.
This is a brand new DVD, but it has most of it's the old stuff, but some of it's the new stuff as well.
All right, fine. We're going to be back in just a moment with Jimmy Walter, and we'll talk a little bit about the fact that half of the firemen are now ill. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, when they actually went there to actually clean up the site, the initial people on the site were the firemen. They were looking for survivors, and they weren't allowed to wear masks. And, of course, the air was terribly toxic. And are half of them out actually on disability now? What's the
situation? Half of the firemen are on disability now. That means they've been maimed. They can no longer work. Their bodies are permanently injured.
Now, it's amazing we're not hearing that all across America, and there really isn't any outcry. And why isn't that being mentioned by the media?
Because the media censors any information that looks bad. I ran $650,000 worth of TV commercials in New York City, and no newspaper mentioned it. No newspaper mentioned the fact that I have been promoting the facts and discrepancies that I am offering a $1 million challenge to any engineer or any person who can prove explosives were not used at the World Trade Center.
In fact, there was apparently there was a professor back at Brigham Young University, Stephen Jones, who had actually come out and said, and he's an engineering professor, who said that obviously there were explosives there, and apparently pressure was brought to bear to silence him. Have you heard that story?
No, it's a fact. He was told that he cannot speak on the subject, that it's bringing too much heat to the university.
I guess this is
the state of freedom of speech in this country. They're able to go on national TV and tell people to throw myself and Eric Hirschman down a flight of stairs if they see anybody with his book. And yet, a professor can't speak the truth about physics. This guy has no political axe to grind. This guy's talking about the facts of the physics and how it cannot be as the administration said it was. And yet, they all moved to silence him. And by the way, if you have, I have to recommend this movie, Good Night and Good Luck. It's about Edward R. Murrow. George Clooney amazed me. I never thought he had the depth to do a movie here on the McCarthyism, and how Edward R. Murrow stood up to it. So your viewers want a good movie to go see, Good Night and Good Luck, but with George Clooney, who's also in it, but not the star.
All right, well, maybe some other evening we could discuss that in more detail. But anyway, the circumstances, we were just saying that we have half the firemen, who actually were there doing emergency work trying to find survivors, have been permanently maimed because of inhalation of these toxic substances, and they knew that. When did the Inspector General's report actually come out?
Inspector General's report came out about 2 years ago.
And
actually, 3 years Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.